Good morning. Thanks for sledding in today. It's a good day. A special welcome to those of you who have ventured out, and it's the first time you're with us, worshiping with us. We know that's hard to come into a church for the very first time, so special welcome to you. My name's John, lead pastor here at Bethany, and so we would love to get to know you more. If you're sitting next to a worship folder at the end of your rows, would you do us a favor and pass that back and forth? And you can fill that out or fill out the connection card so that we can know if you have prayer concerns. We would love to pray for you. If you have any other questions about other ministries, you can fill the connection card out or fill that form out. We'd be happy to get back to you with any questions you have about what's happening around Bethany. When I was a kid, I had a little Christmas tree in my bedroom. How many of you ever had a little tree in your bedroom? It wasn't quite like this. I mean, I loved it. I decorated it with all my stuff, and I put lights on it. It looked more like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree, but it didn't matter because every night before Christmas, when mom or dad turned the lights off and I would lay in bed in the dark, I would take a look. I would stare at the glow of that tree, and I would imagine what kind of magic that Christmas would bring. I would wonder what would happen. Many of you remember that feeling. Let me ask you, do you ever wonder like that anymore? Do you ever wonder today? Maybe not about Christmas, but do you wonder about things? Let me ask you, what did you used to wonder about that you don't wonder about anymore because you figured something out, so therefore there's no wonder to it, but now it's led you to wonder something new? We all wonder. And the truth is, we wonder through kind of a frame of reference, a sort of a context. There's a sense that we look about through this imaginary window, and we wonder, what's on the other side of it as it relates to faith, as it relates to our future, as it relates to our children, as it relates to all the other things that we humans tend to wonder about? And the reason why we wonder is because our frame of reference it doesn't provide us all the answers, and so we wonder. And as our frame of reference changes, as we grow older, as we learn things and we get educated and get more experiences, some of the mysteries of life get resolved. But every time one is resolved, it leads to another wonder. For example, you learned about this in school, and maybe it wasn't important then, it's probably not important now, but for decades and decades, scientists, they believed in what was called the steady state theory of the universe. The steady state theory of the universe. You remember this? Learning this? You're like, no, not really. It probably wasn't important then. Maybe not now. But this theory of the universe was this, that matter was just always, it always existed. That the universe always existed. Nobody really knew where it came from or whether it was going to keep going or not. That it was just a steady state, and Albert Einstein embraced this theory, but at the same time, it caused scientists to wonder because there was no such thing. There couldn't be anything mathematically. You can't have anything that was called an infinite actual. You can't have an infinite number of events, an infinite number of elements, an infinite number of processes. So if the universe just always existed, that meant that there was some sort of infinite actual, and scientifically it made sense, but mathematically and philosophically, it didn't really make sense at all. So it caused the scientific community to wonder. And then in 1929, Edwin Hubble, you remember his name, came along and through a telescope observed that the universe, the galaxies of the universe, were actually speeding away from from each other at a high rate of speed. And everything changed. Right, and so what happened is this new theory was developed that the galaxies, if you reversed it, and they would come back all together in one singularity, and that theory became known as what? Right, the Big Bang Theory, right? And more importantly, that developed in a TV show that was really good. And so that's probably more relevant for us than everything that I've just talked about. But But the point is, the idea of the universe beginning, that changed everybody's frame of reference. And as a result, it lifted up brand new questions. And there were brand new things to wonder about. The truth is, we all have a frame of reference or a framework that helps us make sense out of life and helps us make decisions and help us to make sense of it all. And yours may not be well defined. Like, you could come up here and describe your frame of reference, but everybody has one. It determines for you the difference between right and wrong and what is just and unjust or fair or unfair, what's important or not. And it's just a framework that determines a few things, that determines what you believe, what you don't believe, or what you do believe. To some extent, it determines how you behave. Well, maybe not how you behave, how you think you should behave, but how you behave. And then it also determines what you believe you should hope for, or what you can, what is worth hoping for. And the other thing that is true of all of this is this framework we inherit, this framework. That those who raised you, your parents or your grandparents, when you became a child, they had already begun to shape and form the framework that they raised you in, and how the world, you should view the world and the window through which we should interpret events of life. So maybe your frame of reference was religious. Or maybe for you, your framework was a kind of religious or a kind of religion. In other words, maybe you came to church and you knew, there's a God, but you never really talked about it outside of church, or just seemed to be a shadow idea of God kind of following you around. Maybe it was kind of religious. Maybe it was academic. The framework was academic, but everything was up here. You had to be thinking through everything. That's complete. Or maybe more specifically, scientific. The combination of those two. Maybe your framework was moralistic, that it was all about your behavior. That no matter what you believed or what you thought, you just had to behave the right way. Moralistic, that's a kind of a legalistic framework. Or maybe this one, opportunistic, that you had to look out for yourself no matter what. You always were having to look out for yourself or else. Maybe your framework was karma. You didn't use that word karma, but that stuff happens for a reason. Or maybe the opposite. Maybe it wasn't karma, maybe it was fate. Fate is things happen for no reason. It's kind of fate. But to some extent, whoever raised you, they did it within a context, within a framework, and they handed it off to you, and all of us, because we were children, we adopted it. And then when we got a little older and realized we were far smarter than our parents, we decided we would take that and adapt it. And then for some of us who then realized that our parents actually were pretty smart after all, we went back and we readopted that original framework. But for some of us, for some of you, we took that framework and we abandoned it. We walked away from it. And the reason why we did that is because our life experiences really didn't match our framework. And when our life experiences and what we have come to know and what we learned as we grew up doesn't match our framework, and then it causes us to wander. And it can be disturbing. Because if you've ever had an experience that doesn't line up with your framework, it can be personal, and it can be all about what happens to you, and it can be all about your behavior and some of the things that you see yourself doing. It can be disturbing. And so not only does it cause us to wonder, it causes us to wander away from that framework. And usually when we're out there wandering around, we don't wander to any place that is necessarily a good direction. And so when we read the story of our faith, and we read about the prophet Isaiah, who was speaking to a group of people who had early on adopted the covenant of God, but then started to wander, and then they started wandering around. The prophet Isaiah said, wait, you just need to know that God is about to do something remarkable, and it's going to give you a brand new framework. And I love the picture that Isaiah paints. It's a picture of harmony. It's a picture of hope. where there is a world that is a kingdom, a worldly kingdom without evil. And I love this last part where Isaiah kind of sums it up and says it this way. And this is so relevant to our season. Isaiah says, "For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord." And the Hebrew word for knowledge means, in a sense, there's a sense of intimacy. Knowledge, not head knowledge, but heart knowledge, soul knowledge. So Isaiah says, "Dear people of God, fix your hope on what God is about to do. And when you do, you are going to know in an intimate way things about God. And you're going to know in a place where you wonder. That's where you're going to be filled." He says, "And you will be as full as the waters cover the sea, as deep and wide as it can possibly be." Now that's a big give. Which means as we move toward the celebration of the birth of Jesus, and because some of you have wandered away from the faith, as we think about the magic and the glow of Christmas, my question is, would you reevaluate or would you reinvite Jesus back into your framework? Would you reinvite? And it doesn't have to be the religion that you remember growing up. It doesn't have to be that. It can be something new, more true, more authentic. Would you consider reinviting Jesus back into your framework? And I know I've been around long enough to know that you might be thinking, "Pastor John, that's a nice academic exercise I could probably do." But if you're really inviting me to reframe my life around Jesus, around the person of Jesus, I've got to just tell you, that might be okay for kids, but as adult, it doesn't really line up with me, because I'm afraid if the price of readmission to do that, the price of that is my mind. That Pastor, what you're really trying to say to me is that, and what I believe to be true about Christianity is it's really more about having faith in faith. And again, maybe as a kid, but as an adult, I don't think I can go there. But the good news is that Christianity in its original state didn't require anybody to check their mind at the door. It doesn't require you to abandon reasoning skills or what you observe. Well, maybe some of you would respond to the invitation and say, "Well, look, I get that that might be something that we should do, but I don't think I want to do it, Pastor, because of the price of readmission is my freedom, is freedom." And you're right about that, because following Jesus comes with a cost, and the cost is that you have to say no to you sometimes. That you have to say no to you. But of course, that's not really new, because every worldview, every framework requires you to say no to you. Your current framework requires you to say no to you, because you have some oughts and some ought-nots. And so you know, and you've got some regrets. So you know you should and you ought to. And so saying no to you is not a brand new thing. It just depends on exactly where you're going to say no. Besides, and this might get personal and maybe offend some of you, there may be a fatal flaw in your current frame of reference. And the fatal flaw, and maybe the offensive part, is it might be you. Because come on, what do you know? What do I know? What do we know? Because our frame of reference changes depending on the season, depending on our mood. You used to hate your parents because they took you to the dentist, and now you drive yourself. What happened? Right? You absolutely had to lease it, or you had to buy it, and now you're looking back on, "What was I thinking?" You were sure she was the one. You were sure he was the one. Now you're looking back, you're going, "Thank goodness I didn't go that direction." What happened? What changed? Our frame of reference changes by the season. Is it possible that you're non-religious or non-Christian, or you're kind of stiff-arming Christianity and just kind of sitting back saying it's all that? Could it be that your frame of reference is incorrect? What do we know? Because here's what we really know. Our frame of reference is limited. But here's what Jesus' followers believe. that God so loved the world that while he was waiting for us to evolve, that God so loved the world that while God was waiting for us to grow and grow, he did something remarkable. That God rushed ahead so we could know what God is like. That Isaiah was right. That God, instead of waiting for us to slowly evolve and finally discover what God is really like, God has done something remarkable. And what we believe is, what I want to invite you to reconsider, is that Christ followers believe that God sent someone to our side of the framework, to the front of the frame, to be our point of reference. That God sent a person to our side of the frame so that we might know him in intimate terms. One of the implications is it doesn't matter how far that we've wandered, that we still might know him because of what God has done. And so the question is, if you've wandered and then you've started wandering, if at some point maybe for you, you're in a place, maybe it was after high school, maybe it was after college, maybe somebody you lost, a loved one, somebody told you that if you just believe or if you just pray hard enough that somehow they're going to survive and that didn't happen. Maybe you're still struggling with the idea that there's all kinds of evil in this world. Whatever it is, if you started wandering, here's my question. What was the faith you lost fixed on or fastened to? What was the faith that you lost fixed on or fastened to? Because if at one point it just didn't make any sense with your framework, and maybe you did away with the framework or you did away with your parents' church, what was it fixed on? My hunch is it wasn't Jesus, but it was something else or someone else. And the reason why it's so easy to wander is because circumstantial faith, you know, circumstantial faith, if something happens good for me, then God's for me. If something happens bad, then God's against me. Because circumstantial faith can't survive the desires and the pressures of this world. So if you've wandered and then wandered, well, here's something to ponder. Perhaps you had your hope fixed on something other than Jesus. And that's why you lost hope. That's something to wonder about. And hopefully, that'll create enough wonder that you're going to wander back here in part two next week. So come on back as we're beginning this series called The Big Give. What my prayer for you is that you will recapture the glow and the hope of Christmas for your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, circumstances change constantly, and we tend to be floating without a rudder, without an anchor, Lord, because of the changing circumstances and situations around us. And maybe we're feeling pressure this year, or maybe we're feeling indifferent this year, or maybe we're feeling lonely this year, or maybe it's we're in a great place this year. Regardless of our framework, Lord, help us to remember that you've given us a point of reference that we can know deeply in our hearts in such a way that we can be filled. I pray that we might have the boldness and the courage to surrender again to you, to give our lives and our trust and our hope for our future back to you, Lord, that we might be filled like water covers the sea. Pray in your name. Amen.